This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Last week, the president said he'd be proud to shut down the government in a dispute over border security. Now the White House says the administration is going to wait to see what the U.S. Senate might be able to pass before it agrees to any deal to avert a partial government shutdown come Friday. The Senate's top Republican, Mitch McConnell, says of a possible shutdown,
"Yeah, we've been down this path before, and I don't believe we'll go down this path again."
The U.S. Senate has passed a landmark criminal justice reform bill, the First Step Act, passed overwhelmingly yesterday. Leaders in the House say they'll likely act on the bill before this week is over. The Federal Reserve's policymaking arm is to wrap up its last meeting of the year later today. The Federal Open Market Committee expected to announce another interest rate hike at about 2 p.m. Eastern today. And this is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com.
Facebook admitting to allowing other tech companies to read users' private messages, though it's denying that they do so without consent. The social media site responding to a New York Times investigation that claims Facebook allowed companies like Spotify, the Royal Bank of Canada, and Netflix to read, write, and delete people's messages. Actress Penny Marshall has passed away at 75. Her former co-star in Laverne and Shirley, David Lander, who played Squiggy, says,
"Was always the intelligence. What amazed me was how intelligent she was. That's why she was a good director."
Marshall died Monday night at her Hollywood Hills home. TMZ reports she passed away from complications from diabetes. She got her big break playing a half of that TV show partnership, Laverne and Shirley, and she was also very respected behind the camera, directing Tom Hanks in several movies, including Big and A League of Their Own. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The tunnel that Elon Musk says can reduce traffic congestion in Los Angeles is open. Well, at least for a night, the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX showing off the $10 million test tunnel that his Boring company built in L.A. Boring is the name of the company, as in they do boring into the earth. It's not a description of the company meetings. I thought I'd point that out. But last night, in a series of tweets, Musk was showing a Tesla Model X fitted with gear that guides the car between elevators at each end of the tunnel, where then it drives back onto the road. Musk says the equipment will be available as an aftermarket add-on for $200 to $300. Musk has said that his underground highway will be able to safely move electric cars at more than 150 miles an hour. Texas Republican Congressman-elect Dan Crenshaw is now reaching out to comedian Pete Davidson after the SNL star's rough weekend. Davidson posted on Instagram that he didn't want to be on this earth anymore, prompting police to check on him. Davidson and Crenshaw recently met after Davidson had made fun of Crenshaw's appearance on Saturday Night Live after Crenshaw lost his eye as a Navy SEAL in Afghanistan and wears an eye patch as a result. Crenshaw later appeared on SNL with Davidson Davidson to show there were no hard feelings. And the Texas Republican congressman-elect is now saying he wants to help Davidson through this rough time. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we've been off. I mean, how long is this going to continue, right? 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Merry Christmas to you. I am Bill Martinez, just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Steve Cortez joins us now, CNN commentator, former Trump campaign operative. Steve, it's just too bad that nothing's going on. I guess we'll just have to sit around and talk about the family and what we got each other for Christmas, I guess, huh?
That's right, Bill. You know, but listen, this is the Trump news cycle. I often tell some of my colleagues in mainstream media that, you know, as much as they can't stand President Trump, do you know how much they're going to miss him someday when he's gone?
And yes.
I hope that's not for 6 years, by the way. But whatever happens after him and whoever succeeds him, the news will seem so boring compared to the frenetic, constant pace of the Trump era that they won't know what to do with themselves.
Well, Steve, do you imagine all the time they used to spend coming up with headlines? They don't have to do that anymore. They just go to Twitter, look at what Trump has said. That's the headline for the day.
You know, Bill, so I've been doing live TV news for 12 years. I started financial news in 06 with CNBC, mostly talking markets, not so much politics and policy, and I've obviously shifted over to the political realm. But I can tell you, I can remember plenty of shows where we would have an hour-long show, and we'd be doing a conference call before the show, and literally the producers would be saying, we don't know how we're going to fill you out. You know,
yes.
And they'd be in your ear sometimes when you're on air saying, stretch.
Yes.
Like, keep talking, right, about this
right.
topic, because we don't have another topic to go to. It is so the opposite now.
You know,
we could do an hour show. You could easily do 5 hours and not run out of material. And if anything, they're in my ear now saying, rap.
Yeah, exactly.
Get to the next point.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, let's talk about a wall. Do we wall or no wall? What's the deal here?
You know, I've got to tell you, unfortunately, I'm pessimistic on this right now, meaning that I'm pessimistic about us actually getting the wall. And I'm frankly a little frustrated with the president. I really am. And you know, I don't criticize him very often. But I don't think that he, at least so far, now we'll see, you know, this is the chapter's not closed yet, obviously. But he's intimating at least that he's interested in a continuing resolution and punting us again to February when we don't have control of the House anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a lot of leverage right now for the wall. We have zero leverage, I believe, come February over this issue. So honestly, I'm frustrated. I'm not sure that he and the White House understand how important this issue is to his voters.
I'm glad you said this, Steve, because, you know, when it's just like Republicans. I mean, here it is. For 2 years, you had a Republican president, like him or not, non-establishment, whatever. But you threw a fit in these 2 years and you wasted a lot of time. Now you think you're going to negotiate, you're going to get a better deal with Nancy Pelosi? Are you kidding me?
Right. So, listen, I'm worried, quite frankly. Put it on the table, and I'm worried not just because I think it's important for our country, which of course it is, for our economic and national security. It's something that was promised to the American people, you know, in the clearest of terms, right? This was not an ambiguous policy point. This wasn't nebulous. And this was maybe the foundational policy point of his campaign. in 2016. So you know, it's important from a policy perspective because we need it. It's important because it was promised. But I'll tell you this, too. I believe it's also important for 2020. Mm-hmm. You know, this president wants to get reelected, and I want him reelected. He's done amazing things, and he's kept his promises on so many issues. But this one is critical, Bill. I really believe that if we don't have substantial progress toward the wall, I'm not saying it has to be completed fully, but if we don't have substantial progress toward the wall by 2020, I really fear that he's not reelectable. And I look, I hope I'm wrong, and you know I don't like to criticize the president. He's been an amazing leader. But I think right now he and the White House are not, they don't have a plan, and they're not taking this as seriously as I think they need to, in my opinion.
Well, Steve, I was being a little bit of a brat last night when I wrote the headline for today's show. And I say this a bit gingerly because I mean, playing the race card is ridiculous. But I know on the other side, they play the race card in 2 seconds. You know, and I wrote down in the headline, you know, what is this? You give a black president $8 billion to build the wall, and the white president, you can't even come up with five?
Well, it sounds
racist in this, but I mean, you know, it's like, here's the people that are so quick to throw out the race card. It's like, wait a minute, you already approved $8 billion for Barack Obama to build the wall, which you didn't know what to do with it. And then, and then here you go, you know, you've got a president who went, you know, from 20 billion, he said, okay, look at, we'll do it in steps. Give me 5 billion. But the Democrats have to save face. I mean, this is a Waterloo moment here a bit, Steve, is it not?
No, I agree. And by the way, speaking of President Obama, if you go back and read some of the things he said about illegal immigration, particularly as a senator, you know who it sounds a lot like? Donald Trump.
Exactly.
You know, and by the way, same with Bill Clinton. If you look at you know, one of his State of the Union speeches way back in the 90s, you know, Democrats used to be sane on this issue. Chuck Schumer, of all people, gave a speech at my alma mater at Georgetown University, a place that I'm not all that proud to be on my alma mater, to be honest. But anyway, that's a different topic. He gave a speech at Georgetown, and he sounded, again, very much like Donald Trump sounds today. And this was just a few years ago. So the Democrats used to be sane. They used to, look, any home, any business, any country has a right to determine who comes in, who comes into their property, their premises, their country, and under what circumstances. The idea that the United States doesn't have that sovereign right and that it doesn't make sense, you know, that's just lunacy. And then for the left, you're right, how quickly they play the race card. For them to try to turn it into something racist is truly absurd. And one of the reasons I say that is, you know, we don't want illegal – we want to keep illegal aliens out of the United States, not because they might be of a different color. And by the way, I don't care where they're from. I don't care if they're from Switzerland. Right. I don't care if they're from Guatemala. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed legally. You're not allowed. But I also find it so hypocritical because the people who suffer the most from illegal immigration, in my view, are Hispanic and black Americans.
Without a doubt.
Americans of color are the ones who have to compete in the workforce against illegal immigrant labor. They're the ones who have to deal with dangerous illegal aliens. You know, if you look, this whole sanctuary city nonsense, I hate that term because it's not sanctuary. But if you look at the victims, most of the time, if you read about these crimes,
they're minorities.
Of course. It's because those are the neighborhoods they live in, Bill.
That's right.
So,
right.
You know, in fact, I would argue it's racist to not enforce our border.
Exactly. Well, but you see, all this point's missing, but this is why, you know, look at minorities across the country with their Obama phone still or whatever they got, they ought to be jamming the switchboard at the White House and encouraging this president because he's fighting for them, Steve, to your point.
Right.
Exactly. Because, you know, the president is one man. I mean, he's got a big ego. We all understand that. But he's a human being that needs encouragement. You know, I've been saying for a long time, he needs reinforcements. He needs people of like mind that can sit there during those moments, like right now, Steve, I agree with you. I think he might be a little weary about it and thinking, okay, maybe there's a compromise, something to come up with. No, he needs to fix his jaw like a flint. He needs to stay focused on what he said, you know, during the campaign, that it is the wall. And I don't care, you know, I mean, I knew from day one the way he was going to work out the math. I knew Nieto wasn't going to write a check for the wall. There's ways to get Mexico to pay for it. And, you know, but the media is going to tear it apart. They think it's a joke because in their knuckleheadedness, because they hate Trump so bad, they think that, you know, he's not fulfilled his promise because Nieto didn't write a check for it.
Right. No, and listen, you know, to your point too, and I do believe that. And again, I very hesitant always to be, you know, tough on our president because he's been such an incredible leader. Mm-hmm. One thing I did, I was privileged and honored to go to the White House Christmas party on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I did talk to a lot of senior staff about this issue is really reinforced to them because I think sometimes they can even get, you know, even though they are still the outsiders
right.
in D.C., there's times that they can I think, by osmosis, adopt a little bit of that beltway thinking of, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, well, we're not going to get the wall. We have to figure out another way. And I was trying to tell them, you know, as somebody coming in from the outside who doesn't work in government,
right.
Remember how important this is to Trump.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the issue. And I, what I'm saying them too is we can't go back.
Got to go to break. More from Steve after this. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
My doctor makes more informed decisions prescribing my blood pressure medications based on the data I presented to him on the Smart BP app.
That's one.
Smart BP can export a colorful, detailed blood pressure report that I can bring to my doctor.
That's two.
Smart BP is easy to use and intuitive, and the features on the free version are very generous.
And that's just three of the thousands of five-star reviews of Smart BP, a new blood pressure tracking smartphone app from Evolve Medical Systems. Smart BP is the only app designed for ease of use and seamless connectivity to help manage your blood pressure and keep track of your health at your fingertips. With Smart BP, you can automatically sync your blood pressure measurements through Apple Health and Microsoft Health Vault. Connect with Apple Watch. Easily print and share detailed reports with your doctor, plus many more features. Smart BP is free and available both on Apple and Android devices. And be sure to search the App Store for Smart Blood Pressure from Evolve Medical Systems. That's Smart BP from Evolve Medical Systems, the Smart Blood Pressure Tracker.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UnveilingThem.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Have yourself a merry
merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
We got to remember that was then, that is now. I'm not sure next year all our troubles will be out of sight, because what's going to be coming into focus with a gavel in her hand is Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and the whole crew here. We're just going to have all kinds of fun. Steve, like you said, we're not going to worry about any headlines or worry about what to talk about, because it's going to be nonstop. But, you know, to kind of wrap up what you said earlier, which was so important, I got to tell you, if blacks and Hispanics are not on the phone right now encouraging this president and getting on and putting the pressure back on, their elected officials, I mean, we are not going to get this wall. I mean, forget about a government shutdown. That's just a minor deal. The main right. thing is our border security. That has to happen. As you mentioned very clearly, I mean, the facts are there. The people that get impacted by this the most are Hispanics, blacks, minorities in this country, and they need to let their voices, their minority voices, be heard in a big way, encouraging this president and get and put the pressure on their elected officials to say, look at, build the wall. The heck of this crazy, all this talk. I mean, Steve, it sounds ludicrous. I mean, well, it's not exactly a wall. It's a double fence. I mean, it's all this it's like, come on.
Well, and by the way, you know, Speaker Ryan, who, you know, I have very few kind things to say about, right? But you know what? He could leave a legacy if in these final weeks he would actually work and do something and lead before he's no longer Speaker Ryan, and before, you're right, unfortunately, we're going to have Speaker Pelosi. But his failure to get anything done on the wall, you know, to me marks a terrible end to what was, you know, for the most part, a terrible speakership, quite frankly. And I think one of the reasons we lost the House, you know, really, is because of his totally inept leadership.
And yeah, don't even get me started on that, because I kept saying all along, where is he? Well, I mean, you got President Trump, you know, campaigning, and I'm going, where's Ryan? And even beforehand, there was no strategy going into it. Oh, just let everybody quit. You know, all at the same time, it's like, wait a minute, you can't even convince them they need to stay in the fight for, you know, another cycle at least, so that we're not having that many people walk out the door and leaving that many seats vulnerable. How did that make sense?
Well, and far too many of them, Bill, let's be honest, all right, because I'm as critical of Republicans sometimes as Democrats, far too many of them leaving to walk into really cushy, highly paid lobbying jobs.
Right.
Let's
just
be honest about that. Yeah. That's the carousel of Washington, D.C., of the establishment, both Republican and Democrat. It's why the president was elected, though, to smash that system of cronyism that works for its benefit to the detriment of the rest of the country. But one thing we're finding is, you know, the swamp, I think, is deeper and more nefarious than we ever imagined. I mean, we knew it was bad. Well, it's even worse.
Exactly.
Than we suspected. And unfortunately, a lot of Republicans are swamp creatures, and I think one of them is Speaker Ryan. But again, I would implore him, as critical as I am of him, I would implore him, he can do something great here in these final days of his speakership. Let's get something done on the wall. And to me, the compromise that makes sense, where the Democrats might actually bite in the Senate, because we will need their votes in the Senate, is DACA for wall. So let's make DACA permanent, which the president has already offered. I know some people in Team Trump don't agree with me on that and don't agree with the president, but he's already offered that. He already put that on the table. He says these illegal immigrants are different. They didn't choose to break our laws. They were brought here as children. They're now adults. They've lived here, many of them, almost their whole lives. Let's make their status permanent.
Right.
And in return, the wall. To me, that's a perfect one-for-one sensible trade that I think can actually get done if we were to see leadership from Ryan, from Schumer, from McConnell. But again, they seem more intent on pass a continuing resolution and get home for Christmas.
Well, exactly.
That's not what we elected them for.
No, you're exactly right. Well, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Schumer have to feel like they've got some sort of win here, because their backs are stiff, their necks are solid on this deal. And, you know, if they relent to this president in any way, this is going to be a big problem for them politically, no doubt. So they've got to find something, you know, to get a breakthrough on this deal for, you know, for the welfare of this country, no doubt about it. Let's talk real quick. We've got about 5 minutes left. The Flynn non-sentencing deal. Speaking of the swamp, I mean, boy, I'll tell you, the Swamp personality was running deep and on full parade between the Flynn non-sentency and James Comey on the Hill.
Right. No, and listen, this was, you know, unfortunately, to me, the greatest outrage of the Obama presidency, and there's a lot of problems, but the greatest outrage to me was the way the Obama DOJ and the way our his national security team really weaponized our national security officials and methods against an opposition campaign, the Trump campaign, and then against an incoming administration, even worse, right, once he had actually won, to try to delegitimize an incoming administration. And it's just, it's reprehensible. I think if there are actual crimes from 2016, those are the crimes. It's within the Obama DOJ and FBI. It's not within the Trump campaign.
Now, look, it's certainly not with the Russians. I mean, we had more interference from the Democrats and the DNC and Hillary Clinton than we did, Vladimir Putin.
Right. And as far as Flynn goes, you know, look, I don't know why he lied to this day. I'd love to know the answer, because he had every right and prerogative to speak to Ambassador Kislyak as an incoming. You know, he was then the incoming national security advisor.
Right.
I don't know why he lied. He shouldn't have.
But the FBI agents are saying he didn't lie. I mean, this is what's so goofy about all this stuff. And then the judge yesterday makes it sound like, you know, he was treasonous and, you know, he should be all but shot, you know, because of what he did. And to me, even his acceptance of it was like, I just want to get this over with. You know, this has been a drain on me and my family and everything. I mean, you just had this sense of he's looking forward to just, hey, let's just close this chapter. Let's move on. And I can get on with my life here. And then what does the judge do? Says, well, yeah, I mean, it was almost like the judge was saying, well, do you want to enter a different plea? I mean, it was kind of the signals that were coming. And then the judge, I mean, we're talking to Judge Steve. He didn't even remember certain things. His understanding of the case was convoluted. And some of the statements he's making is like, where have you been? Are you not prepared?
Right. No, you're exactly right. Because they had two different sessions, because I think they broke for lunch. Mm-hmm. And the morning versus afternoon, you're exactly right. It was almost like he was looking at a different case, you know, which was crazy. Look, I think that he did make mistakes, though, regardless. Whether or not he exactly lied to the FBI, we know he lied to the vice president.
Right.
Why
exactly.
He was fired, right?
Right.
But this is an honorable man who made some mistakes. I think minor mistakes, but an incredibly honorable patriot. And because of that, I believe the president should pardon him. And he should have done it already, but it's not too late.
Eventually he will, but you know, right now, anything that has to do with Mueller and this deal, I think the president needs to navigate around that carefully a little bit, because the media will go nuts. I mean, and why even at times he's brought up, well, Manafort, you know, he may pardon Manafort. Don't even talk about it.
Right.
You know,
Manafort's a whole different, whole different ball of wax, right?
Right.
I mean, that is a swamp operator. I'm not going to call him a patriot. I mean, he didn't, risk his life for our country the way General Flynn did.
Exactly.
He was massively paid by some pretty scummy foreign money, you know, didn't report it, didn't pay taxes. I mean, he is a swamp operator.
Right.
So to me, pardoning him is a whole different, circumstance.
Yes.
And my guess is he probably shouldn't be, although, you know, I don't know everything, obviously, on that. But Flynn, to me, is kind of a layup of, you know, this.
No, I would agree. I would agree ultimately with that, Steve. James Comey, though, well, I'll tell you, the lies, the misremembering, you know, the dodge that he is going. I mean, he figures, hey, why not? I'll play the game. You know, the Democrats will be here and, you know, the Republicans, for all the hell they're giving me, they're going to get it back here in short order.
Shown just how brazenly political he is, how partisan he is, which is really too bad, because it betrays the FBI. It betrays the rank and file FBI agents, who are brave men and women who do hard work, dangerous work for our country to keep us safe. And I've talked to a number of them, and of course, you know, off the record, they tell me they're just disgusted by him.
Yeah, exactly.
And the disrepute that he has brought to that amazing bureau. And that, you know, the really just nakedly, brazenly partisan agenda that he had both as director and now even, you know, as ex-director.
Yeah.
Of the FBI. No, I think his performance was shameful, as it has been really since 2016. And again, it's a betrayal of the FBI.
Yeah, I think that had President Trump not fired him, I think there were several congressmen that would say, I'm going to fire you right now, just, you know, for the silly answers you're giving us. You're the FBI director? This is ridiculous. Steve Cortez, CNN commentator, former Trump campaign operative on Bill Martinez Live. Steve, Merry Christmas to you and the family, okay? Take care.
Merry Christmas.
This report is brought to you by Facebook Marketplace. The holidays are upon us, and while it may be the most wonderful time of the year, between decorating, finding the perfect presents, and setting the dinner table, it can also be the most expensive. But with Facebook Marketplace, you can earn extra money and find the best deals right in your neighborhood. More than 1 in 3 people on Facebook in the U.S. use Marketplace every month, making it easy to buy and sell items. Last-minute shoppers can find one-of-a-kind gifts in their local area. Bonus, no shipping required. Robin Moreno is a lifestyle expert, author, and blogger.
You can also earn extra money by selling items you no longer need. Just snap a few photos of your item, write a brief description, and name your price.
This holiday season, Marketplace is a one-stop shop to get your shopping done. For more information, visit facebook.com/marketplace. That's facebook.com/marketplace.
This report is brought to you.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Last week, the president says he'd be proud to shut down the government in a dispute over border security. Now the White House says the administration is going to wait to see what the U.S. Senate might be able to pass before it agrees to any deal to avert a partial government shutdown come Friday. The Senate's top Republican, Mitch McConnell, says of a possible shutdown,
"Yeah, we've been down this path before, and I don't believe we'll go down this path again."
The U.S. Senate has passed a landmark criminal justice reform bill, the First Step Act, passed overwhelmingly yesterday. Leaders in the House say they'll likely act on the bill before this week is over. The Federal Reserve's policymaking arm is to wrap up its last meeting of the year later today. The Federal Open Market Committee expected to announce another interest rate hike at about 2 p.m. Eastern today. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
With a tale as your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Set the little lamb to the shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? A song, a song.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you get to go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information you're looking for is right there as we continue to pursue the truth, no matter where it leads. And we're going to talk Christmas because it is that time of year, and we love this time of year. And the fact that, you know, we get to get warmed up to it. You know, this has been going on for about, you know, what, 5-6 weeks. I know for some of you, you know, you were saying to me, well, Bill, you're talking 5 or 6 weeks. They've had Christmas decorations out at the retail stores since, you know, since Halloween. I know they try to get, they get into the spirit early, and I say, hey, why not? If you can go around thinking goodwill toward all men and peace on earth, the more weeks we can do that, I think something's about to, you know, we might be lucky enough to have some of that good sentiment rub off on more of us. With us right now to talk about Merry Christmas and the history of it all is the one and only Bill Fetter, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. And when it comes to Christmas, it is a noble heritage, isn't it, Bill?
And the book I wrote on the topic is called There Really Is a Santa Claus, The History of St. Nicholas and Christmas Holiday Traditions. And it answers a lot of questions. And one of them is, why December 25th. And if you like, I can give that one.
Yeah, let's jump into it, because I know from time to time, you know, there's always this sidebar. You know, well, December 25 wasn't actually the birthday of Jesus Christ. It fell that way.
Well, it's quite interesting how the traditional church calendar worked it out, and it's actually been confirmed by the Dead Sea Scrolls. Mm-hmm. What am I talking about? So Zacharias is John the Baptist's father, and the gospel tells us how he was in the temple. It was the course of Abijah, which means he's the family of Abijah. Mm-hmm. King David, First Chronicles, separates the sons of Aaron into 24 groups, and they serve twice a year. And the Abijah family served around the end of September. And this is when Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, takes place, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. And if we read the Zechariah story, he's in the temple offering incense, and everyone is outside praying. And so it sounds like what would be the case with the Day of Atonement. Mm-hmm. Angel appears to him, says he's going to have a son, John the Baptist, and he goes home, and Elizabeth conceives. And then we switch over to the story of Mary and the angel appearing to her, telling her that the Holy Spirit will throw upon her, she'll get pregnant, and your cousin Elizabeth is in her sixth month.
Right.
So she goes and visits. So with that, we know Zacharias, family of Abijah, serving end of September, usually around September 25th is the Day of Atonement. Mm-hmm. 6 months would be March 25th. So now we have a date for around when Mary gets pregnant, around March 25th. So March 25th is the traditional date for the Annunciation, when the angel appears to her and announces to her that she's going to be the mother of Jesus. And 9 months after March 25th is what? December 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the traditional church calendar. Now, this in 1958, Israeli scholar Sherman Hu Talman published research from the Dead Sea Scrolls, parchment number 321, and so forth. And he reconstructed the sacerdotal rota, which is the rotation system of these priests. And he, sure enough, identified that Abijah would be, the family of Abijah would be serving end of September. And so that would have been lining up with the gospel story.
So basically, in this deducement, we're saying that 1225 is more right on than not.
Right, right. It has been confirmed by the Dead Sea Scroll discovery. So before it was like, okay, course of Abijah, but when's that? Mm-hmm. And now it's confirmed when that is, and it is end of September, the time of the Day of Atonement. And there's lots of other different parts of the Christmas story that fit in. I go through in the book, you know, the history of the Christmas tree and Hanukkah, and then, of course, the story of Saint Nicholas himself, and I'm happy to go through any of that.
Yeah, let's just, this book is so cool because it does take us through the history, and I think that our heritage that is entwined in Christmas, Bill, is so easily overlooked because we don't understand, you know, why mistletoe, why the Christmas tree, why the colors of Christmas. You know, recently there was this controversy over the candy cane. You know, a principal or a teacher at a school looked at the candy cane, maybe read your book and talked about the, the shape of the candy cane, that it forms a J. Some say a J, some say, the top of a shepherd's staff. She said, well, that's a problem. If it's J, that stands for Jesus. Man, we're outlawing candy canes because we have to keep, a separation of church and state, right?
Well, and the irony, and I wrote on this, is that Thomas Jefferson is the one who used the phrase separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. And in his Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson acknowledged that he believed in a creator. Mm-hmm. And Thomas Jefferson himself was a Anglican. He never left the Anglican Church. Of course, it switched to Episcopal after we broke from England. Mm-hmm. And in his writings, he talks about how, the highest form of ethics is that of Jesus, and he's extolling Jesus. So for them to try to interpret that Jefferson's phrase should somehow be used to push Christ out, is they don't know history, and it's been too long a time that they've been getting away with it. But one interesting thing, Eastern Europe celebrated January 6th as the holiest day.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the three wise men.
The Epiphany.
Is called
right.
Epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
And the Western Europeans celebrated December 25th as the holiest day. And they couldn't decide which day was holier. This is the beginning of the Eastern Orthodox and the Catholic West. They're the beginnings of the root of them going in a little bit different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they tried to patch it up in 567 AD at the Council of Tours. And at that council, they decided to make all 12 days between December 25th and January 6th the 12 days of Christmas.
Right, exactly.
So the 12 days is not 12 days leading up to Christmas. It's 12 days from December 25th to January 6th. They called them holy days.
Mm-hmm.
And over the centuries, the word holy day got pronounced holiday.
Exactly.
So when these secularists say, well, we can't call it Christmas, we just got to call it holidays. Happy holidays. Well, what are the holidays but holy days? What are the
exactly.
holy days? The 12 days of Christmas. I'm sorry, you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
And then our very dating system, right? 2018,
mm-hmm.
what? AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord's reign. Our entire dating system for the entire world, for all events past and present, go back to the birth of Christ.
Exactly.
And I sort of get a kick out of it. There was a movement among archaeologists to say, well, let's call it Common Era and Before Common Era. It's like, okay, when does it switch from Common Era before to the birth of Jesus? You can't get away from it, so just accept it. It's B.C. A.D. And I love the quote from Clarence Mannion,
mm-hmm.
and he was put on by Franklin Roosevelt after FDR, and I'm sorry, he put on Eisenhower. Put him into the cabinet to try to give back to the state some of the powers usurped under FDR. So Clarence Mannion, he's sort of one of the early conservative movement guys in America. And he gave a great quote. Again, he's the dean of Notre Dame Law School. He said let me pull it up here. The long march of measured time suddenly stopped, and it did an about face. The start to march in another direction, to a different drum, straight through the ensuing centuries of Christ and Christendom. The B.C., before Christ, A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord,
mm-hmm.
Lord, marked each one the only reliable milestones in the path of world history. The end of the first time chain, the beginning of the second, came together on the night that Christ was born in Bethlehem. The first day of Christmas thus stands as the great divide for the timing and recording of all people, things, and events that have lived or taken place on the earth. The one place where the long trail of time, where the magnetic needle of history stands vertical and points up.
Wow. That's awesome. We've got more from Bill Fetter. Got to go to a quick break. Stay with us, America.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. As we approach 2019, it's a good time to take stock of your financial rewards so you can maximize your earnings in the new year. International travel expert Lee Abamonte describes the tools and programs he's using that can also help you plan ahead.
Check to be sure you're enrolled in rewards programs based on the categories of spending you anticipate in 2019. Those programs for me are airline, dining, hotel, and banking rewards. For example, I plan to enroll in Bank of America Preferred Rewards, which will give me credit cards rewards bonuses of up to 75%, no-fee ATM transactions, and even a discount on the mortgage fee for the home I'm planning to buy next year. For tracking my financial rewards across multiple programs, one of the newest digital tools available for Bank of America clients is My Rewards, a central dashboard that helps me maximize my earnings, redeem rewards, and access new rewards.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/preferred-rewards.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez live.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at 5 and 10, listening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
Bill Martinez live.
Frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way. He's filled his sleigh with things.
As promised, back with you, fresh and independent, Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with Bill Federer continues, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch. We're talking about his book. It's been out for a number of years here, and maybe some of you have your hand already on it, and so this is a little bit of a reminder, a review of There Really Is a Santa Claus, The History of St. Nicholas and Christmas Holiday Traditions. And Bill, you know, you've done such a service for us, especially people of faith, because our history is so rich. And even starting, you know, when you consider Christ, and as you went through the timeline and everything, you know, like it or not, it points to Christ. And, you know, that in and of itself, thousands of years in the modern era that we're talking about, all things considered here in a general context, we still talk about Jesus. And on top of that, Bill, you know, I was sharing with somebody earlier here. In these past few weeks, I stopped to realize, I go, Christmas like no other holiday. We celebrated for weeks. I mean, this one here is going to be, what, 5, almost 6 weeks of celebration that the official, you know, Christmas season is in play for Catholics. We've got Advent happening. You know, we mentioned 12 days of Christmas. Some people are a little bit confused because they think 12 days of Christmas is the 12 days leading up. But traditionally, it's always the 12 days after Christmas, you know, being punctuated by the Epiphany on January the 6th. And also, there is a lot of meaning with the 12 days of Christmas and what the Catholics did in Europe with that song, that famous Christmas carol. The 12 days of Christmas, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. And that was all code, right?
Yeah. Yes. The fascinating study of the meanings of it. So when you looked at England, you had lots of persecutions. First it was Catholic, then it became Protestant, then it went back to Catholic again. And then you had the Anglicans, and then they were persecuting the, you know, the Anglicans persecuting the Puritans. And so the story is that it was a Sunday school song, the 12 days of Christmas. And each item meant something different. And in the book, I put the actual meanings of the different ones were the partridge in the pear tree, the partridge. So there was a song in the 1600s, and it was called In Those 12 Days.
Right.
And it says, what is that? What is this one that we have but one God alone in heaven sits on the throne? What are they which are but two, the Old Testament, old and new? What are they but are but three, the three persons of the Trinity? What are they but are but four, the four Gospels written true? And so it goes through one for each day of the year. And so it's so close to the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, that anybody that reads it can see, you know, the two turtle doves, the Old New Testament, three French hens, faith, hope, and love, four calling birds, the four Gospels, five golden rings, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, six geese of land, 6 days of creation. But I go through it all.
Yeah.
And Go ahead.
No.
I was just going to jump into the St. Nicholas story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, St. Nicholas is the most popular Greek saint. He was to Greeks what St. Patrick is to the Irish. And so he lived during Roman times. There were 10 major persecutions of Christians in the first three centuries. And Diocletian's was the last and the worst, and that's the time Nicholas lived. And so the area is Turkey. Back then it was Asia Minor. And the story is that Nicholas's parents died and left him a lot of money. He's an only child. He's a Christian. A movement swept through Christianity called Pietism, beginning of the monasticism movement, where if you really become a Christian and you were sincere about it, you would give away all your money and join a monastery. So Nicholas decides to give away his money, but he wants to do it anonymously because he doesn't want to get the credit for it. He wants the credit to go to God. So he would sneak into the town at nighttime and throw money in the window of poor people. And supposedly some of it would land in a shoe or a stocking that's drying by the fireplace. And one of the famous stories was a merchant in the town, and you see this on Middle Ages stained glass windows in churches in Europe and Greek Orthodox, you know, icons and mosaics on their church walls. And there's Nicholas as a saint standing on his tippy toes, throwing a bag of money in the window, and inside the house you have a man and three daughters. So the story is this merchant man had gone bankrupt, and the creditors were going to come and take his house and lands and his daughters, sort of the trafficking and forced marriages and worse, and he didn't want that to happen. So the father thought if he could hurry up and marry the daughters off, the creditors couldn't take him. Unfortunately, he did not have money for a dowry, which was needed for a legally recognized wedding.
Exactly.
Nicholas hears the problem. Late one night, throws some money in the window. The oldest daughter has a dowry, gets married, does it for the second. But he does it for the third. The dad's expecting it. Runs outside, catches Nicholas. And Nicholas makes him promise not to tell where the money came from because he wanted the credit to go to God. And so that was the origin of the tradition of secret gift-giving on the anniversary of Nicholas's death, which was December 6, 343 A.D., stockings by the fireplace, midnight visits. And became so popular that he even became considered the quote-unquote patron saint of pawnbrokers. So outside a pawnbroker shop, they have three gold balls hanging, and they represent the three bags of money that Nicholas threw in the window. And they say, well, we help families out in their time of financial need. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a stretch, but nevertheless, they do claim that.
Well, honored old Saint Nick. And then how did that get enveloped into December the 25th and part of the Christmas tradition, Bill?
Well, skipping ahead, he dies, and he was a bishop, and the Greeks have lots of stories about him. He slapped Arius for starting the Arian heresy, and he helped, calm the seas so the sailor ships could get back. They have lots of stories, but 988 A.D., this is like 5 centuries after he died, the Russian Emperor Vladimir converts to Eastern Orthodox Christianity, adopts Nicholas as the patron saint of Russia. So now most of the Russian Orthodox churches are named St. Nicholas, Russian Orthodox Church. But then the Muslims invade into what is today Turkey, and they're destroying libraries and churches and museums and artwork and graves, sort of like they still do today. Yeah. And so the Christians don't want the grave of their famous founding father, Greek Orthodox Saint Nicholas, to be destroyed. They move it over to Italy, a little town called Bari, B-A-R-I, on the coast. Mm-hmm. And the Pope dedicates the church. The Pope's name is Urban II. We know him because he's the one who called for the First Crusade to have these European kings send help to the Greeks that are being killed by this Islamic invasion. So in a backward sense, we wouldn't have had St. Nicholas traditions in the West had it not been for Islamic conquest in the East. But then it spreads through Europe. The gift-giving is so popular that St. Francis of Assisi, sort of in protest, comes up with a nativity scene, saying, look, we need to get back to the real reason for the season. Jesus, the Son of God, was born in a manger, Emmanuel, God with us.
Right.
And then there's the Germans and the English and the Dutch, but I don't know how I'm doing time-wise.
We got about 2 minutes left.
So the Dutch, they took took the story, like the Catholics say, St. Peter's is the gate to heaven. They do a story on the book of Revelation where Jesus will return at the end of the world to judge the living and the dead, riding a white horse. Saints will come back with him riding white horses. St. Nicholas is a saint after all, so he will be one of those riding a white horse, but he's so special, he gets to come back once a year for a little mini judgment, a little checkup on the kids, make sure they're on the right track. So he's
naughty and nice.
Right.
Exactly.
And the, you know, the angels come from heaven, the celestial city that turns into the North Pole. In Norway, they didn't have horses. They got them riding a reindeer. The Lamb's Book of Life and Book of Works turns into the Book of the Naughty and the Nice. The angels turn into the elves. And so in Holland to this day, St. Nicholas comes dressed as a bishop, riding a white horse, and he has with him a little helper, Zwarte Piet. And they tell the naughty kids, Zwarte Piet will put you in a gunny sack, take you back to Spain, and sell you into Muslim slavery.
Oh, wow.
So often when you tell little Dutch kids that Santa Claus is coming, they start crying. Now, Santa Claus is the Dutch pronunciation of St. Nicholas. So that's where that came from. And it was the Dutch that settled New Amsterdam, which became New York. And the oldest Dutch Reformed Church in New York City is the, you know, St. Nicholas Dutch Reformed Church. It later moved out into the county, and they called it Marble Collegiate Church.
Right.
But, and even Norman Vincent Peale and even Donald Trump went there. But so in New York is where it transitioned to where he's still called St. Nicholas, but he goes from wearing the bishop's outfit to a Dutch outfit of a leather, you know, boots and hat and belt.
And then Coca-Cola memorialized him. And, of course, that's the modern Santa Claus of today. Bill, we got to leave it there again. I cannot thank you enough. I mean, your gift of this book, There Really Is a Santa Claus, is so special and so rich. I'll tell you, you need to, if you have not read this book, you need to get your hands on it. You and your family will be blessed. It's the history of St. Nicholas and Christmas holiday traditions. And I know that Christmas will not be the same after reading this book. I know for us it's changed quite a bit. Bill Fetter, as always, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Well, Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.